Dina Diamond joining us for Marketing Mondays. Dina, very good morning. How are you?
And yeah, very good morning to you. I'm good, hey. I cannot complain.
Okay,
I
so that's so good to hear because I'm finding our listeners, just some of them, not everybody, just a little bit frustrated, a little bit flat. Lindiwe was telling us earlier she went to Woolworths and saw an elderly white woman in a fight with an elderly colored woman. No social distancing at all. They were in a physical fight. The security guard was trying to separate them, but by not coming too close. So she's convinced that Woolworths shoppers are the weak link out of all of us.
She might not be wrong. I'm just saying. She may not be wrong.
But I guess the question is, are people just a little bit frustrated to the point that Woolworths shoppers are now beating each other up?
Listen, I think that, like, you know, caged animals, eventually there is some level of revolt. I do think that people are feeling a little bit sort of run down by the lockdown. So, you know, like originally I think people took a bit of time and they kind of enjoyed it, etc. I'm still good. but I think that it is taking its toll on some people who just are like maybe needing to socialize, maybe needing to get out, maybe people just looking for conflict, you know, like maybe they've had no conflict and it's been innate people who need conflict. So yeah. Maybe they're just going to go to Woolworths to take it out.
Yeah, exactly.
On someone,
yeah.
Some poor unsuspecting shopper.
I want to know what they were fighting about. I can't believe that she took her mask, Lindiwe, and scuttled off. I mean, that was not, I mean, you have to stay. You need to know.
Yeah, to watch. Why wasn't she videoing it? For
I don't know. This is just too important.
Yeah. I mean, but what could one possibly be fighting about in Woolworths? I mean, they've got plenty of toilet paper. They've restocked. So, you know, life is good in the retail sector at the moment.
And there's certainly,
that part of it.
Nothing wrong with what
you're doing. Do you know what I think? I think people are looking for someone to blame and they're looking for somebody to take out their frustrations on. Because honestly, at the core of it is this virus, and this is what people have forgotten. But because this virus is invisible, you can't take your frustrations out on it.
Yeah, you could be right. You could be right. I just think that the one thing we need at an uncertain time is confidence in government, and we don't have it right now. Ramaphosa has all but disappeared.
I still do.
Yeah.
Do you? I know. You still do have confidence. I'm happy with that.
And I feel like a lot of people do, but it's just, I think these clusters of people that have kind of made it like all of us don't. And I feel like a lot of people are still have confidence in how the government has handled this.
Less and less, though, I must tell you, Zanati, really less and less is, you know, since they backtrack on that cigarette announcement, where the informal market or the black market is flourishing, people are buying cigarettes. That money's just going to all the wrong people. It can't help. It can't help the poor. It's not going to taxes. It's not, and all that's doing is strengthening a sector of the economy that should never be strengthened. We need to cut that off. So how do you cut that off? Is you make it legal. Cigarettes have never been a problem. Why is it suddenly a problem?
So, yeah, and you know, it's also something like, I mean, I know they say health effects in the lungs, et cetera, in terms of the disease, but I don't think you're fundamentally going to turn around corona because you're not letting people smoke. I mean, it just actually makes no sense.
There's definitely more to it than that. There's definitely something else. I'm not saying that it's a conspiracy that somebody's got their, getting a kickback. I'm really not suggesting that. And I think it's irresponsible without some form of proof to suggest that. But it doesn't mean that it's rational. It doesn't mean that these are good decisions.
No, they must just open up the cigarettes and then we'll see what else people are going to complain about.
Do you think so?
Honestly, they must open up the cigarettes and then we'll see if they
Yes, but then open
complaints.
It. You know, we haven't, my point is information. We're not getting information. That's really what bothers me. And I'll tell you further, Zanati, that I don't think that that our media is doing a good job. And I really don't. You know, yesterday I was trying to find proof I still saw it on social media on the weekend, the 23 Cuban doctors, arrived in South Africa with COVID-19.
Really?
Yes.
Out of the 217?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 23 of them had COVID when they got here.
Oh my God. gosh.
So we imported COVID from.
It's outrageous.
Outrageous.
And the cost of that alone, over 400 million rand to bring that into our country.
So I didn't want to talk about it on the show until I had a legitimate source for this.
Mm.
The only source that I could find, and it's now been, and I now have it, is in one of the Afrikaans, the Freya Weekblad, is dealing with this.
Oh my God.
That means News 24 didn't report it. Why not?
They fact that it costs.
Yeah, no, that they reported. Yeah, but they didn't report. That is very newsworthy. The 23 of those Cuban doctors arrived in South Africa with suffering from COVID-19. Now, if it's not true, then that must also be a news story. If it's true, as reported by some of the Afrikaans papers, then we need to talk about it. News 24 has been completely silent on it. When Fikile Mbalula tweets disparaging things about a president of another country and then removes it, News 24 doesn't even comment on it. It doesn't report the story. Why not? But when Tito tweets something and then the ANC censures him and he apologizes, that they tweet. Why? Because he's been kept in line with the ANC. What is going on with South African press? That's what I want to know. And if we can't trust our press to get to the bottom of these stories and to ask the right questions, and we can't trust government because no one in the world should ever trust their government, that's why we have a free press, then something is wrong in the system.
Mm.
And that's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling that we've gone towards this whole support from Ramaphosa, and I was one of them. And I really, really was. But if they're going to start lying to us and obscuring information and not telling us the truth and making irrational decisions, that's up to them. But then we need a strong press and an independent press to be able to ask the right questions. And we're not even doing that at the moment. And that's my concern.
I hear you.
Okay.
Definitely I hear you.
Well, there was a bit
not,
of a...
Not
that,
fighting with you anymore.
He doesn't feel strongly about this.
That was a bit of a soapbox, wasn't it?
It really was. I'm just like, okay.
Zanetti's going to back off. She's going to increase her social distance.
What?
No, but I mean, I get you, Howard. But now it also doesn't make sense for people to be calling for a total end to the lockdown.
No, I think you're 100% right. I think that's completely irresponsible.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
And especially people coming from the epicenter in
Cape
South Africa.
Town, or Woolworths. Which one?
Exactly.
The Woolworths in Cape Town, that is the epicenter.
Yes.
That's the thing, because I feel like, you know, for John Steenhuisen to say that the lockdown must end, I mean, he's in the Western Cape and the DA is governing the Western Cape. I think the best way for you to actually be reacting is to slow the curve of the virus in the epicenter. Where you are to show that you can actually, you know, slow the spread of this virus instead of saying that we must actually all just go down.
But you
with
know,
the rest
it's
of
such a blatant, it's such a like a throwaway statement. End lockdown. Like, what even does that mean? And also just make sense of the situation that you're in. It means it's such a nonsensical statement. And
absolutely.
So,
I couldn't agree. Like, and irresponsible. Completely irresponsible.
To be quite honest. End the lockdown.
Yeah,
to say
yeah.
that we need an easing of restrictions and the economy needs to start working again and people need to start being, productive again is sort of more a logical way of getting into it. To say end lockdown is almost childish, to be quite honest. If you look holistically at the situation and the reason we're in lockdown in the first place, and also you don't reverse the effect. So the country's taken a massive knock economically. Employment's taken a massive knock. And all of a sudden, and the reason it has done that is because we've been in lockdown to prevent the virus spreading and to prevent a massive medical issues and crisis.
Of the medical system.
Absolutely. So, when we say end lockdown, like you've got to think, then everything we've done has been in vain, and then we've gone and ruined the economy for no reason, and then we're going to have to go end lockdown and then start the whole cycle again, which will make it even worse. So just think about what you're saying. I mean, that as
absolutely
a leader, right. One needs to actually have some level of consideration.
100% right. The DA used the word, and whether you support them or not, but they've used the word smart lockdown, and I like that term. Because a smart lockdown makes sense to me is that the right people go back to work. Look, a lot of it was absurd. A lot of it when you say that, that the whole e-commerce industry should have been allowed to continue. It made absolutely no sense that you couldn't get a delivery of things that you wanted, at least keep some part of the economy going.
You know, absolutely. I mean, look at SAB, Shane. Poor SAB have almost, I think they are going to be forced, it was in the paper yesterday, to pour 152 million litres of beer down the drain.
Simply because they can't.
Where's that drain? I need that drain.
So Nadi's going to sit there with a puff.
A straw, not a plastic straw, Zanati. But yeah, well, the point, and so only simply because they can't move it to another location to store it. I mean, that is madness.
Why would you make a company lose 150 million rand? So SAB will stands to lose 150 million rand just because they cannot, they're not allowed to transport their beer from one facility to the next. It makes no sense. You see, it's, again, there has to be logic behind these decisions. I'm prepared to support them. I think a lot of people are very law abiding at this time. But
I think South Africans generally are.
We are
law abiding. And you know, even in the podcast yesterday with Dr. Marburg and Anton Marburg, he was saying, look, he doesn't understand the 6 to 9 exercise limitations, but you know what? That's what it is. That's what it is. Respect it.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, what's
I love that because we were out yesterday and we actually went for a walk on Saturday and not yesterday. And first of all, I have to tell you, for me, that's been a positive of this whole thing because everyone comes out and again, not great for social distancing.
Yes.
But you see how people are like starved of like, of company and social interaction. They get onto that street because a lot of people obviously live in the same area. They know each other. And people are on the street, the kids are on the bike. It almost feels like Freedom Day, do you know what I mean? Where everyone's come out and there's this huge like sort of elation in the air and people are free. And then, but that, and then at literally at 2 minutes to 9, the streets start emptying and it's dead. It's amazing. It really is.
Yeah. Unsigned says, a while Howard Wealth said, support you, they are lying to us, protect you, Howard, don't fear them if they harm you. I will unleash all hell upon them, Akara.
Yes, Howard, because you've always been known to back down.
I'm concerned. I am concerned, as I say, about where our press is, actually. Dina, one of the things we wanted to talk about is, and we're not using the word new normal because it makes me want to throw up along with the word smize. You're not using
unprecedented.
We're not using smize. We're not using unprecedented. So all the, there are a whole bunch of new words we have to use, like the social distancing
because those are important words.
Yes, but there are other words that we are not allowed to use. So, you know, the dictionary brings new words in every year. So those words are definitely going to be in there for next year, I would think.
If Tyra Banks gets smized in Zanati, I don't know how I will. I can't live in a world where Tyra Banks has added a word to the dictionary.
Wow.
That is not a world I want to live in, Zanati. So she came up with this word, smize.
She did.
Smiling
definitely.
With your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't. All right. So either way, work is not going to be as we have always known it. Massive changes coming our way.
Massive.
What do you think they're going to be?
So first of all, I mean, I think if you actually look right now, people who even want to get back to work, everyone has now found a new reality, a new balance of life. So when lockdown came in, everyone was like, oh my gosh, can't do this, can't do that. Companies, even though a lot of them were already moving towards automation or to digitizing or to creating platforms for people to work from home or have flexible working hours, they hadn't really sort of gone full throttle to actually implement it, where all of a sudden, all of those companies had no choice and had to accelerate all of their digitization. So now people are able to actually work from home. So the fact that people now can work from home means if companies say, okay, we're back to work, we want you to come back into the office, there is going to be pushback, I think, from employees to say, I actually can't. I now actually am able to work from home. Why can't I work from home? So I think that's a big nut. That's number one. And then I think number two as well is that because the schools aren't back, people who obviously were working from home and then were working at the office and now working from home are also homeschooling their children. So they're going to have actual restrictions until schools go back and are fully functioning, which we don't even know how that is even going to occur. They have to be home and actually be educating their children. The actual amount of people getting back to the office. So when we talk, I think is going to have to be questionable. And also offices aren't going to be able to have the people all sitting next to each other. So I was involved quite a few years ago on that whole model, when you were moving people out of offices, that was in one of the big, big banks, mm-hmm. where we had, everyone had like these really nice big offices, and it's kind of how the world worked at that stage. And then it was moving to open plan. And obviously there was a lot of resistance to change in moving to open plan because people like their own space, their own like privacy. And then it took a huge amount of change and changing the movement to actually get people to get into that open space planning, et cetera. And the whole premise around it, that is that every person gets one linear meter of working space, essentially, and you actually, and that includes your storage. So now one linear meter ain't going to cut it in the terms of COVID and social distancing. So office configuration, space planning, that all has to change. Hot desking. So no one's going to want to be in a hot desk where you don't know who was sitting there yesterday and you don't know if it's been cleaned properly. Yeah. So just the sitting and the configuration to me is going to be a massive, massive change.
Yeah, it really is going to be a huge thing because you're just not going to be able to have the same amount of people. The question is, though, is as you said, what I'm foreseeing is that a lot of offices are going to have hot desk areas where so people can work at home for a large amount of their time, and then if they need to be in the office or they want to be in the office, they'll be able to come into the office and use hot desks. Because I think that the whole system, the whole way that people are approaching the office space is going to change.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I mean, you actually think, what does it mean for these massive companies that have spent billions on their infrastructure, on their office layout, on their pause areas, on their coffee shops, which, and the whole thing was to promote social interaction and engagement with your colleagues and your clients. And now we're almost going in reverse. So what does that look like? And I don't think we're even there yet. I don't think the companies have even got to that point where they've been able to think about it, because just to get employees and your clients back into a building, you've got to have all these regulations. You've got to start taking temperatures. You've got to, make sure that, you have like a limited amount of entrances and exits. So all of those things, that whole physical redesign of the work environment is going to play a massive, massive role, in just it's just the building, I guess you could say. So I think that that's going to be like a huge obstacle just to getting everyone back to work. So even if we say we're coming out of lockdown, even if they said today we're coming out of lockdown, it still would not mean that all the companies would go back to work. So it can't be like this sweeping statement, because it really just actually wouldn't even apply.
Yeah, I mean, and the same with schools. I don't think schools have quite figured it out, how they will work. And it was interesting talking to Anthony Reich today. He's saying, for example, kindergartens, you know, they've got a six day week there, but, what they're doing is they've split them for 3 days and 3 days. So some of the kids will go back, one group one will go back for 3 days and the next group will go back for the other three to give, to not have so many people, there at so many kids there at the same time.
Yeah, no, listen, I think there's one solution, and I think globally there's a lot of other things being done. I think in Korea, the kids come in, they've got their masks, they literally desanitize.
Yeah, I saw that. That was incredible. Wow, wow. I'm telling you, like, everyone laughs at me, but I'm telling you that my cattle dipping trough thing is it's going to be the way of the future, isn't it?
I see it.
Yeah, there's a market there for it.
Unfortunately, there might be more of a market. You see, desperate times call for desperate measures, exactly. And things that people would never have ever considered as feasible, even acceptable, historically might actually start being taken up. So I do agree with you. Your little cattle story. Yeah,
you know, and that is what's so funny, because there's no chance a short while ago I would have ever imagined walking out with a mask. Time is 8:32. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 Chai FM. So, Dina, before we wrap up, what do you think are going to be some of the bigger changes that we see? Oh, although I must tell you, just during those ads, Zanati said, you know, she needs a gap year. Why don't we just treat 2020 as all of our gap year?
All of us need it.
So, can I just say, I think it is actually, unfortunately, is going to be a gap year. I'm good with a gap year. I actually felt that, I said the other day, I feel like I need a holiday. I mean, I know we haven't been doing much. I mean, I actually have been working. But I feel like everyone just feels like they do need to get out. Mm. But, I mean, according to World Economic Forum, in March 2020, Over 1 billion students were currently unable to go to school or university. And what they were saying is, depending on how long this crisis goes on for, the potential disruption to the education sector would cause long-term skills shortages for organizations in the future. So the fact that this is, I mean, if you look at the current matrix, for example, they're missing out on massive amounts of their matric year. They're missing out on, if they're head girls or prefects or whatever it might be, they're missing out on leadership. They could be missing out on key skills. The universities, there are going to be gaps in society going forward for skills where there's a normal, like, you know, rollover of intake and everything. So I do think that this is going to be a bit of a gap year, and they are going to start showing, not even necessarily straight away, but definitely into the future. So they definitely, I think Zanati is spot on with her little gap year, because I think it is going to create a huge problem, and I think it is going to be a gap.
Okay, well, it's time we take a gap here, Howard. Yes. See you next year.
See you in 2021. There you have it. Time is 8:34. Dina Diamond, we always seem to run out of time. I don't know why that is. It is 8:34. Thank you as always. We'll catch you next week. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. We would love to hear from you on 34519 or 061-895-1019.